Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 5, often called the Beatitudes. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, send us your blessing this day as we meditate on your word. Send us your Holy Spirit also to lead and guide us in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is arguably the most famous sermon Jesus ever preached, and the Beatitudes at the start of the Sermon on the Mount are arguably the most famous part of the most famous sermon Jesus ever preached. One of my favourite Bible commentators, Frederick Brunner, writes, "I think these words are the most significant words ever spoken. Their simplicity is deceptive. There is gold under the ground." Their simplicity is deceptive. There is gold under the ground. So let's see if we can uncover and discover some of that gold in our text today. In these verses, Jesus pronounces blessings, divine gifts, divine favor for us, for at least three different groups of people, and on us in at least three different situations that we face in life. These people are not the people, and these situations are not the situations in which we usually feel blessed or think of people as blessed. So what we see here is Jesus really turning the value system of the world upside down, giving us something to really think about, showing us just how countercultural and counterintuitive his message and his ministry really is. Jesus teaches us that we are blessed when we kneel in need, that we are blessed when we stand to serve, and that we are even blessed when we get flattened by the world. So those are the three categories for today. Blessed when we kneel in need, blessed when we stand to serve, and even blessed when we get flattened by the world. Now, I'm going to use some stick figures to show you visually how this works and what I mean by it. And if there's one thing less artistic than using stick figures, it's using stick figures that you've copied and pasted off the internet. But that's what I'm going to do. So you can see here, we have our person kneeling in need, our person standing to serve, and our person getting flattened by the world. Our three points for today. So the first point, we are blessed when we kneel in need. Jesus says to his disciples, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Four blessings for four situations in which any one of us could find ourselves in life. Situations in which we come before God with empty hands or with broken hearts, we come before God in need. And God cares. God listens. God sits up and pays attention. As human beings, we tend to sit up and pay attention when we think someone has something to offer us, something we can gain from them. We tend to sit up and pay attention when someone impresses us in some way. God is the opposite. God sits up and pays attention when he sees people have nothing to offer him. God sits up and pays attention when he sees someone has nothing left to give. God sits up and pays attention when he sees people at the end of their tether. We tend to value people who seem successful, people who seem to have it all together. God seems to value people who, for all intents and purposes, have failed, are falling apart. These are the people we hear are blessed in today's text. The bigger the better, we say. God says, "Blessed are the little ones." God helps those who help themselves, we say. The Bible doesn't. The Bible says God helps those who can't help themselves. Perhaps those who don't even try help themselves. Those in spiritual poverty, those with spiritual hunger, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are humble, those who are sad, those who are grieving. You know, these are the last people that our world thinks are blessed. The last people that our world considers blessed in some way. These are not the situations we find ourselves in and think, thank God for this. These are the last situations we find ourselves in and think that. But maybe we should think that. Because it's only in our need that we start to see who we truly are before God. It's only on our knees. It's only with empty hands that we recognize who we are and we recognize who God is and how much He can fill that need. Eugene Peterson comments on this text, when there is less of you, there is more of Him. When there is less of you, there is more of Him. Our need creates room for God's activity in our lives. Like when St. Paul says, when I am weak, He is strong. His grace is sufficient for me. But Paul had to learn that. He had to learn it through his need, through his struggles. God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient for us too. It's sufficient for you too. When you are poor in spirit, when you are mourning the death of a loved one, when you are grieving weeks later or years and years later, when you are meek, when you are quiet, humble, when the world considers you of little account, not particularly special at all, when you hunger, when you thirst for what is right and good, when you yearn, when you long for God and good things, you need to know His grace is sufficient for you. And His blessing is on its way to you. That's the promise we have today in those situations. God's blessing, what it does to us is it lifts us up. So we are on our knees, but it lifts us up to our feet. And we go from kneeling to standing, from kneeling to serving, from praying to practicing what we have prayed about and what we preach. So the second point is that God blesses us when we stand to serve. Once we have been on our knees, once we have been in need, we know, hopefully, what that's like, and by God's grace, we become more aware of and more gracious towards other people in similar situations. And so this is part of God's teaching. We might click to the next one. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. What Jesus does here is He picks us up from our knees and He dusts us off and He says, now get out there and serve. Out you go. And we think, what, me? I'm poor in spirit. I'm meek. I'm mourning. I'm sad. I'm in grief. I'm hungering. I'm thirsting. And God says, yes, you. You're like Uncle Sam, I need you. Right? I want you to do my work in this world. God's blessings have a purpose, not just to encourage us and comfort us, although that is a good enough end in itself, but there is this added bonus whereby God's blessings to us in our need, our difficulty, actually prepares us for service in the world. God is getting us ready. God is training us to be more open to and aware of the needs around us. The merciful are those who help people in need. Often think of the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a good example of mercy. The pure in heart are those whose hearts are only seeking the way of God, seeking to do His will. And the peacemakers are those who reconcile people and situations, bring wholeness, bring healing, bring peace. Frederick Brunner again writes, people who are poor or meek or repentant are precisely those who have a heart for the fall and the need of others. Where it is often the curse of the rich and satisfied that their situations make them harder towards others. I think he's onto something. You know the attitude, don't you? I had to work for it, you should have to work for it. Okay? Or I made something of myself, Why can't you make something of yourself? Makes us harder towards other people. But of course, that attitude often misses some important aspects of the human experience. Firstly, it misses just how hard life is for some people, for various reasons. Secondly, it misses how little control some people have over their circumstances, for all kinds of reasons. And thirdly, it misses how little we actually know about people's situations, the plight that people go through in their lives. Only God knows that. So only God can judge. And only God can offer the right balance of truth and love, law and gospel, firmness and softness to people. But we can learn that as well, as we learn His head and His heart and His will and His word through His Son, Jesus Christ. The merciful one, the purest in heart, the peacemaker par excellence. This is Him. And He has so much to offer us and to teach us today. One of the ways I've seen this very gradually work out in my own life is through my attitude and approach to other parents, I think. I would say that before I was a parent, my attitude to other parents was relatively harsh, or at least hard. And you think you know about things, and you think you know how people should be raising their kids and what they should be doing and shouldn't be doing, and you presume a lot of things. Then I had kids of my own, and it was like God hit me over the head with a big stick, right, and said, "Wake up, kid. You don't know half of it, right? You don't know what some of these families go through. You don't know what parents do for their children. You don't know how much effort it can be just to get kids to church, right, to teach them about the Christian faith. You don't know the effort people put in just to put food on the table for their children. You don't know the half of it, so don't presume to know." This is the lesson I'm gradually learning, right? It's just a small example of how God takes us and the things we experience and the challenges in our lives and uses them to teach us to be more and more like Him, to have His heart for people, His mind for people. You know, I heard God saying to me through this time, I am their judge, not you. You be their pastor, right? Or you be their friend, or you be their grandparent, or whoever you are, you be that person you have called to serve. You are not their God. They have a God. And He will judge. Now, we would hope that after being through this experience, being on our knees in need, standing up and going out to serve God, that the next level of blessing would be, you know, some kind of ascent into heaven or something like that. We're going from our knees and we're standing up, and we just might think we could just drift into glory from this point. Right? Like James and John, you know, arguing over, you know, who has the seat next to Jesus in the kingdom of heaven? Who is the greatest? They wanted to know. Jesus has a few things to teach us yet about how this value system of His works. You stand up to serve, He says, and more often than not, the world knocks you back down, flattens you, hassles you, wearies you, burdens you, disappoints you, and wears you out. And yet Jesus says, even now, God has blessing for you. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then He turns His attention. He goes from the third person to the second person. So He goes from the general to the specific. And He says, and blessed are you. Blessed are you. When people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. The first century disciples could not assume that they would go out into the world and do just as Jesus had instructed them to do, and it would bring this great success, as the world sees success. In fact, Jesus knew that if they went out there into the world and did what He had asked them to do, they were going to get knocked back down. They'd speak up and people would silence them. They would speak honestly and people would talk dishonestly about them. They would go out on their feet to serve and they would end up like this, flattened, by their service in the world. As modern-day Christians, we shouldn't expect when we follow our Lord that it's going to make us popular. Jesus wasn't. And we can't expect as modern-day Christians when we go out and serve our Lord that it's going to make us rich, because He wasn't. And we can't expect that we go out as Christians and we're sort of successful as the world defines success. We should expect to be met with opposition. We should expect to suffer sometimes for doing what is right and good. And we can expect that in the midst of all of this, God will be right there again to bless us, to lift us up from lying flat back onto our knees, reminding us of our need, helping us rely on Him once again, and building us up so that we're ready to serve Him once again in the world. This is the pattern of discipleship. This is the way of life with God in this world. We walk this path because He walked this path. Think about it. From His knees in Gethsemane, back onto His feet before Pilate, arrested, beaten, taken to the cross, and then lying there in His grave, only to be lifted up again, resurrected to life again. The glory of Christ is not around, but it's through the cross. And similarly, the glory of us as Christians is not around, but through the difficulties of life. It's through the struggles. It's in their midst. Jesus had to go down to go up. And it's the same for us. We have to go down to go up. And so Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. Have we got our stick figure rejoicing and being glad? There he is. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they treated the prophets who were before you. Rejoice and be glad. Through these experiences, you join a long line of faithful saints whom God has upheld and kept and strengthened through these experiences in life. Rejoice and be glad. God has blessed you, and God will bless you in time and in eternity. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your blessings to us in this life. And we thank You that those blessings come in the most unexpected ways, at unexpected times and places and situations in our lives. Lord, continue to lift us up from our knees in our need, to stand us up ready to go out into the world to serve You and the people around us. And then when we struggle with that, when we are flattened by the world, remind us of Your love and mercy and grace towards us and lift us up all over again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.